If you feel stuck between wanting on one hand to grow your business and on the other hand, not wanting to sacrifice the lifestyle and the freedom that you've built, today's episode is just for you. We're joined by Neil Parekh from Made This and Made This Franchise, and he talks about how he scaled from 3 franchise locations to 20 without just not sacrificing his lifestyle, but actually getting more freedom along the way. He was very open and very candid about his process and what made the difference for him, and he broke down what helped him add more than $1 million in revenue. Why wanting external freedom can actually make you feel trapped and paradoxically give you less freedom, and how you can use different methods to work around paying a price that you don't want to pay. Basically, how you can have your cake and eat it too as you scale, and you can have more freedom and more lifestyle. So I want to say again, big thank you to Neil for joining us today and giving all of these insights. And if this is something that you're struggling with, how to grow the business, but you feel like you're holding yourself back because you don't want to sacrifice some of the lifestyle and the freedom that you have, tune in. This is going to be just for you. Enjoy today's episode. Could somebody else with your exact skill set be achieving more than you currently are? If so, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Itam Amirani, ex-Israeli Special Forces, former undercover agent, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and mindset and performance coach to over 106 to 9-figure entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Elite Performance Podcast, where we arm ambitious entrepreneurs with actionable mindset tactics so they can stop playing small and win big. Hey, Neil. So first off, thank you for coming on the pod today. Appreciate it.
Good to see you again tomorrow. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. Cool. So can you please quickly walk people kind of what the before is, what the after was, and then we'll start breaking down how you got there, man.
Yeah. So I joined the arena, and at the time I had my business, which was Made This Franchise. So Made This Franchise was the franchise version of my LA operation of a cleaning company. And we were selling franchises around the United States to other people who wanted to open it up. And a big challenge I had was just, I felt like I was shooting myself in the foot. You know, I had a lot of conflicting thoughts in my head about growth and whether I actually wanted to do this or not. I felt I was comparing a lot of my growth to the growth of other people I saw who were doing kind of competing types of business models. And the whole time I just kept wondering, why do I have these thoughts? What's my why? Do I actually want to do this? And it just felt like I was kind of jumbled in my direction, and that was the reason I joined the arena, and that was the reason I wanted to kind of formalize a little bit more my thoughts by joining something like this.
Cool, man. And can you share us the before and after as far as it's called external results?
Absolutely. So at the time we had, I think, 3 franchises, and this was, I think, a year and a half ago of when I joined. I think 3 to 4 franchises where we're at, and I was deciding, honestly, whether to shut down the franchise operation or not. Currently, we have 20 franchises. As of the time of recording, there's 20 franchises. So I've grown quite a bit, generated well over $1 million in revenue from this business, and is on the path to add hopefully 10 more franchises this year alone. So definitely massive, massive result externally.
That's awesome, man. I didn't know. So first off, congrats on that. I didn't know that you expanded to 20. And I also didn't know that you were thinking about shutting it down, because I remember when we got in touch, you texted me, and I remember I was walking, I was in Tel Aviv, I was going for a walk with my dog, and you're like, I don't know if I should expand because I don't want to give up the lifestyle. I thought that you were just in a place where you didn't know if you want to keep it at that level, but I never knew you were thinking about also shutting it down.
Yeah, you know, with my model, and I think a lot of this was a comparison game. I saw people selling cohort coaching programs with the same model I was running as a franchise. I was like, these guys are doing it so much easier than me. They seem like they have a better lifestyle than me because I have to deal with all these things involved with my franchise. That sounds a lot easier. I should just go do that because I prioritize my lifestyle. Why am I doing this crazy hard thing to try to build a franchise brand? Like, that's not even what I want. So those were a lot of the thoughts going around in my head about how hard it was going to be in the future. And so I was honestly thinking, should I just convert this to a coaching program? Maybe that's a better lifestyle for me. Maybe that's something I should do instead. And for a while, I was debating whether I should just scratch everything and take the assets and build something else with it.
Wow. Okay. So why don't you walk us through it? First off, what helped you decide if you want to stay with this instead of pivoting? And basically, like, let's first do that. And then what helped you get this to scale to that level?
Yeah.
What do you think your main takeaways are? Like, what enabled you to do that? For people that are at home and they're like, I'm also kind of stuck. I don't know if I want to grow this because I want to give the lifestyle that I've earned by making this business, but I still want to do something else. What are your main takeaways? Like, what do you think enabled you to do that?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that happened together. One was just speaking with enough people, advisors and networks, and you know, I was in a group coaching at the time, and sanity checking my thoughts. A lot of my responses were very emotional. You know, I thought, hey, I'm doing this crazy hard thing. I don't need to be doing this to achieve the lifestyle I want. Why would I be doing this? And after speaking with a lot of people, the overwhelming response was, hey, dude, you're crazy. Like, you already have built this thing. It's going to be a lot harder to unwind it and then rebuild something else. You're already on the path forward. Just continue it. And if later on you want to do it after like a year, then you could scratch it at that point if you really feel like it, but don't make a permanent decision based off of temporary emotion. And I remember thinking, okay, let me just go forward with it a little bit more. And I started to see a little bit more traction. And that kind of kept me going. And a large part of my frustration to Itamar was just that I didn't see as much external success as I thought I was putting into the business. And I was thinking, hey, there's got to be easier business models, other things that are going to be a better return for my effort. I'm not seeing it. Why should I keep going? And, you know, I think on our call, one of the big things I realized through the arena was how I kept trying to look external for like a why as a big reason to start have a business going. And I'll try to clarify that a little bit, Itamar. I kept thinking like, oh, well, I don't feel so much clarity with this model. Obviously, I'm having doubts. That proves that this is not my why. I should go find my why, then everything will become clear. And I think one of the first things you said to me is a lot of people who try to hold on to a why as a main reason, it's kind of a cop-out. They just lack confidence in what they're doing. And most times, they have a completely fine business model. And the why doesn't need to be this big, grandiose thing. It could just be something for yourself, that you want to impress yourself, that you just want to go down this path, and that's good enough. You don't really need this centered North Star at all points, which is what your business model is centered around. And I think that also clarified a little bit for me of not feeling the pressure to think, oh, I don't have a strong why for this. Why am I doing this? Like, I'm not changing the world with this model. And it kind of relieved a lot of the pressure, I would say, and just let me keep swimming.
That's great, man. So kind of repeat it back to you. What I hear is that you're getting frustrated that things weren't moving as fast as you'd like them. And the reason is that you have this expectation that this is supposed to, like, it's going to just be this product market fit with my why. It's going to be amazing. It's going to go so smooth. I'm just going to have a blast doing it. There's not going to be any hiccups. And if it's not doing that, then there's a problem. And that's what caused a lot of the confusion. Is that accurate?
I think that's a large portion of it. And I think the other was a self-identity as a guy who prioritizes his lifestyle. And in my mind, I now picked a business model where most people only pick that model if they're trying to grow an empire. And that was my belief. I thought, like, why the hell would I pick this massive business model where it's going to be very hard to scale? And I'm not that type of guy. That's kind of what I thought. And because of that belief, that self-identity, that I'm an easygoing guy, why would I pick a hard model? That made me start looking externally for what are easier models to do. And I think that was a big, like, it felt like something was stuck to my leg as I was trying to build this business where it was just dragging me back and I was moving a lot slower because I had that belief.
Yeah. Okay. So this is really big. I'd love to get into this. So what do you think, the reason you weren't going forward because there was a disparity between your identity, how you viewed yourself, and the actions you thought were required in order to get to your goals, which is a business model that actually takes away from lifestyle. So right. What do you think helped break that gap, so to speak?
I think
changing your identity or changing your belief about the business model or both?
Yeah, at least for me, I think part of it was realigning stuff through like a lot of stuff we went through with the arena, which I'll get to, but combining that for me with real world evidence. I feel like a lot of the ways I think is kind of scientific is I need facts. If you're just, hey, change your belief, dude, say this mantra every morning, not going to work on me. I want to see facts in the scientific way. So, so for me, it was one thing we reviewed, which I really kind of resonated with me, was that easygoing and chill guy and focus on lifestyle doesn't mean you can't have a big business. For a lot of people, scaling a business can be effortless if you use proper leverage, right? It's totally possible. And I think one big thing which actually resonated, Itamar, I think you told me, was I was trying to get respect from a lot of people by scaling this business to having this kind of lifestyle business. And I think it was you who said, like, hey, you don't, people don't give you respect only based off of the outcome of your actions. It's oftentimes based off the values. Now, I was thinking about, that's so true. I mean, I know a guy who is an ultra marathon runner and loves it, crushes at that, doesn't have any business, doesn't have any monetary success. But I respect him a lot more than guys I know who have monetary success. So why do I care so much about having this outcome of this exact lifestyle and like what I'm doing? But the truth is, I actually value people who have no business outcome. So a lot of that kind of got me realigning with what do I actually care about? What is my identity? And what does easy and laid back even mean, right? Like, does that mean I'm not allowed to grow a big business, or is it really possible to grow a big business and still be easy and laid back? And so I think a lot of it was thinking that through. And then I was almost like my brain had a straight framework, but I still don't believe it, right? Because I'm like, okay, we'll see how this plays out if I adopt that belief. And then as I started to grow and kind of just stay in the game, then I started to grow the business and I got it to 20 franchises, which was my original goal. And I still have a cool lifestyle, right? I still do whatever I want. I was just in India for a month. I still travel around. This isn't like holding me down to a certain spot. My lifestyle actually has not changed at all. The only thing that's changed is my bank account, which has gotten bigger, which is fantastic. So I think it's just real life had to disprove.
That's a positive.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to dive into that. So if you remember that literally the first thing we did, because there's a lot of stuff here that I kind of want to pull threads in. The first thing we did in the arena is we figured out how do you actually want to be? Who do you want to be? And for you, is it okay if I read this out loud? What you wrote in the
Please.
First week?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said, because it's interesting, what you said, what you're saying right now is that in the past, you were like, okay, what will people think of me? And that a lot of times dictated your actions, what you would do, and caused a lot of confusion. And then the first week, you decided I'm going to clarify my standard of who I want to be. And it was live a bold life that inspires myself. The only thing that matters is to make progress towards being the type of person that you admire, someone you'd sit across the dinner table from and be inspired or fascinated by. That person will in turn inspire others just by being himself. That person has multiple businesses that can scale without him and is not afraid of failure. He prioritizes family and personal growth and adventures, makes 1 million plus annually in profit, does not care what others' view of success is, and the only metric is achieving personal growth goals. And it's like, that's very different than saying, I just want to make sure that I'm a lifestyle guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think just deciding that that's the person you want to do, you want to be, opened up a lot of those floodgates, so to speak, a lot of those opportunities, because you weren't attached to this, like, oh, everything I have to do has to go through this filter. Am I a lifestyle guy? This is grown with it. So you're like, no, I'm a person who actually like is okay with failure. I'm not afraid of it. I'm going to prioritize family and growth and adventures, but I am going to go for it. And I think once you made that decision, a lot of the floodgates started to open. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think definitely yes. And I think almost formalizing that and reminding myself of that has been extremely helpful. Now, I would say it's kind of an identity I'm still trying to adopt, but I've started gravitating more that way. And I think that changes a lot. I'll be honest, I was thinking about this more as I was coming into this call too. And I think without a lot of this inner mental work, I still would have hit 20 franchises, even if I kept going down the path. However, I think I would not have been as happy while I was doing it.
Nice.
Because I would have been like, I don't know if this is right or wrong. Is this my why I'm calling or not? Am I wasting time? There would have been a lot of like, why the hell am I doing this? I should be doing something to save the world. Or like, if I'm going to do that, or I should be doing something which is way more chill. So it would have been like a dirty way of getting to the actual number and not really enjoying it. So I think what this actually provided for me is of clarifying that why is realizing that it doesn't matter externally. It just matters about what I actually care about. I don't need other people's validation. I don't need to do this for an external gain. As long as I'm happy doing it, that's a good enough why. I don't need to have some big external goal of changing the world or having this why that pulls me towards that goal. It could just be inner motivation, and that's totally okay. So I think that first exercise of clarifying exactly what you said helped pave the way to make it a much more enjoyable journey and just easier.
Why do you think you came in thinking that you had to have this big why that changes the world, and having just an internal motivation wasn't okay? Where do you think you picked that up from?
I think I probably picked that up from just the perception of entrepreneurship and what people think of when they get into business of like, you know, you're if you're in here, you have to be doing something big. And all these business books you read, write down your why. You know, the why is your inner compass. It's going to guide you over here. And it should provide a ton of clarity for you. And the truth is, like, that's kind of bullshit, in my opinion. Like, you don't have to have a world-changing why. And the why could just be having personal growth, and that's okay. But even my why before, even though I knew that fact, was like, my why is making a really cool lifestyle for myself. And in my opinion, that wasn't a good enough why. But having a new why, which isn't world changing, but it's, hey, I just want to grow the most I can, right? I just want to do things which fascinate me. I want to be impressed by myself in the future. That's a much better why, in my opinion, but it still doesn't have to be this whole world changing why that these business books want you to write down. But I do think that's the perception is you need to have utmost clarity in everything you're doing. You need to be fully focused. You need to be doing X, Y, and Z. I don't think it's one size fits all, right? Like, for example, for myself, even going through this whole process, I've never really had like a big aha moment of like, oh my God, everything becomes clear. For me, it's just I'll go through the actions and then, you know, like I said, the external has to prove what's actually going on. Then it'll start to internalize things a little bit more. So along with that, I think a large part of this is recreating that why, then watching the external actually validate that, if that makes sense. And that would kind of solidify a little bit more of the path and eliminating what the normal entrepreneurship world thinks should be of a why. That was a little confusing, but hopefully that made sense.
It did. So I want to kind of reframe that to make sure that I understood it correctly. So basically what you're saying is that when you said I had a better why, the way I'm going to look at it is it was more effective in getting you towards the life you want. And I think you said I'm a lifestyle guy. That was a why that didn't really promote actions that you would later be able to validate. It's just kind of go, I'm a lifestyle guy. That keeps you stuck.
Yep.
But when you said my why is that I want to grow internally, then because you said I wanted to grow, you took actions. And therefore, after those actions, you were able to get external feedback from the world if this is working or not. So it was just a why or a calling cry, so to speak, that enabled you to do a lot more things and therefore get a lot more real world feedback, see what's going on. Is that accurate?
Nailed it. That's exactly what's happened. It's allowed me to make decisions without shooting myself in the foot or make decisions without having so much inner conflict of should I do this or should I not do this? For example, since then, I felt very comfortable making quote unquote more expensive hires for my business to grow. And guess what? That's afforded me a way better lifestyle because I have really good people in my company now helping me out. And I did not have that before. So my lifestyle has actually not gotten worse. In fact, it's probably gotten better because I don't have fear of spending the money or saying, oh, why am I doing this? I'm a lifestyle guy. It's not really in my mind at all.
That's awesome, man. Cool. So I want to kind of go further into this. So after we got clear on that, one of the things we broke down is kind of the effective mindset. What I should prioritize, what should be my rules, and so on. And one rule that you had there that was very interesting, was very poetic. You said that when I catch myself getting FOMO, I choose to miss out. I value releasing the fear of missing out over the outcome. Can you please say what that means to you?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, man, that's still a tough one I deal with, but at least I could catch myself is the cool part. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get this is you see some business model and you go down the path and you get shiny object syndrome and you do, you're like, I want to start that. I want to start this. I want to start this. And I think it causes a lot of, at least historically, it would cause me to think, is that a better business model for me? Should I go do that? Is that wiser for what I want to do? And then the reframe I had was, well, what if I prioritize my why, which is personal growth? What would that person do? That person would probably want to develop the muscle of eliminating fears as much as possible. And one fear is the fear of missing out. What if I completely eliminated the fear of missing out? How dope would my lifestyle be? It'd be pretty awesome, right? Because I'm not worried and I don't have this inner conflict about missing out on some amazing action. So yeah, I kind of chose to say, hey, that's just a fear. And let me see if I can eliminate it. And if so, I think I would start moving towards the type of person I want to be even more.
Cool. So I have an interesting thesis going. Hear me out. Tell me what you think about it. I think what you did previously when you had this kind of why that I want to be a lifestyle guy is that it was weird because you thought you were optimizing for lifestyle on an external level. As far as I don't want to take on too many new responsibilities, more franchising, and so on. But what that actually created is a lot of constraint internally. And all of a sudden, when you flip that and you said, I'm actually going to want to grow a lot internally, it actually provided more lifestyle externally. So it was like paradoxically, it was kind of doing the opposite for you. When you were saying, I want to be a lifestyle guy, it was actually limiting your opportunities and your growth. Therefore, it was paradoxically getting you the wrong thing.
Yeah. when you put it in those simple terms, that's exactly kind of what was going on. And I think, at least for me, when I got to release that identity or like kind of those constraints, now it feels like there's just a bigger play box. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, I'm not fearful of, oh my God, if I get into this business model, my lifestyle is going to suffer. It's like, no, it won't. I'll figure out how to get in and out of it if that's really the case. But now I could like, I'll get into more businesses if I want. I'll do more activities. I'll do other things. And I don't have the fear that, oh no, I can't do this because of X. That's just gone. Now it's, if I want to do it and I feel like it's something internally I really feel like I want to do, I would do it. And there's no fear with that. So yeah, nailed it, man. I think you said it better than I could.
Remember, this is a really big thing, that difference between people wanting an external like freedom, but it actually constricts their actual feeling of freedom. So from your perspective, someone kind of lived this, what would you say to someone who's saying, I've kind of built this business now to a certain level, it's providing me a certain amount of lifestyle, but I'm still kind of torn in between. Do I grow it? Do I not? I keep thinking about this. I keep thinking about that. Like, what advice would you give to them? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I would probably say, number one, I get it. I've been there and it's valid, right? Where not all business models are made equal. It's okay. But I think, why not try it, right? In the worst case, you wind it down if you really, really hate it. But the best case is you grow personally. And maybe it's going to be better. Maybe it's going to... you're going to have more inner growth and maybe you're going to have a lot more fun. So you don't really know because it's in the future. And don't psych yourself out of that from now. Just get into it and figure out from there how you want to pivot. And that's kind of what I would have told myself before too, right? Like I had 3 or 4 franchises before I hopped on. Now we have 20. And I was scared of the future, which wasn't even reality. It wasn't even today. It was like, oh, when I have 20 franchises, my life's going to be so crappy. Well, now I have 20 franchises. My life's not crappy. So I feel like a lot of people in that position would psych themselves out about the future. And the truth is like, maybe they will get there and they really hate their lifestyle, but that's okay because they probably grew a lot and they could still fix it. It's not a permanent thing. It's okay. So I'd say, give it a shot and worst case, fix it. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah. First off, I think that's the best marketing I've ever heard. I have 20 franchises in life. My lifestyle is not sucky. That's an interesting way of framing it first. But kind of what I heard from you is if you say I have this goal, what stops a lot of people is the preemptive suffering. They preemptively suffer of what they don't even actually know is going to be real or not. Like when I get there, it might suck. Now, what's really interesting about this is that I think people don't recognize that like it took you a couple of years to do this. It took you 2 years, correct?
Yep.
To go from 3 to 20.
Correct.
The reality is when we set out on those kind of growth journeys, we become a higher level of person. And what we're probably doing without recognizing it, we're judging how will I right now deal with, let's say, 20 franchise when I'm a 3. Mm. But the reality is that it's not going to be you of right now is dealing with it. It's you with a much bigger skill set. And I think people don't recognize that because they're like, oh, this is above my head. Like it absolutely is above your head now. But on the way there, you'll actually acquire the skills so it doesn't feel overbearing. And I think kind of taking away from what you said, that one of the biggest ways to get more freedom in life is by growth. And here's what I mean by that. There's a whole that analogy, like, would you rather be a ship that can only stay in a safe harbor? And then, you know, that safe harbor, that's my freedom. It's my little freedom jail. Or would you have a fortified enough ship that you can even go on rough seas and still feel safe? And I think by you going on that kind of growth journey, that's what it was for you. They were like, okay, like even if rough seas come, like I'm good. And it's not going to change how I feel inside about the life that I have, whatever happens. Like if things happen, we'll change, whatever it may be. And I think that's just a much better way to be able to go about life. Much more enjoyable way.
Yeah. Hey, you nailed it. And like kind of going back to the timeline, like once I've started adopting these inner frameworks, for me, it still took a couple years to prove it out to myself, right? Like I needed real world evidence for it to happen. But once you start developing evidence, then it becomes a little more solidified. And Ithamar, to your point, I never actually thought about it like that. If you will grow as a person, like who I was 2 years ago, probably would not have been able to handle 20 franchises at the time. But I've learned a bunch. I've endured those sufferings and cuts, and now I'm fine handling that, right? And same with like people who are at 50 franchises right now. Maybe they could handle stuff right now that I just can't. I can learn from them and probably get ready for it, and then I will be able to handle it. So yeah, you're right. There's kind of a lag in terms of skill set. And I think that lack of confidence that you will be able to become that person probably makes it really scary. And then people just abandon shit before they even get there.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing because like, I deal with a lot of guys that come in, they're like, oh, I'm afraid to give up my lifestyle and all that. But it's such a big thing to recognize you setting out this bigger goal, you're going to become a better person. It's more capable of doing it, more capable of handling it. It's not something to be afraid of because you're just measuring yourself against this goal of who you are right now, not who you will become along the way to actually that growth. It's a very interesting thing.
Yeah. Ithamar, what would you say to someone who said, that's true, but I don't know, for example, if this is the business model I want to do. And so, you know, am I becoming the person I really want to be if I'm going down the wrong path?
I think it's a path of exploration. It's like just because you're going down the wrong path, you might need to go 5 steps that direction to be able to recognize that's not the right path. But I think inaction usually doesn't breed much. That's one. Mm-hmm. And two, you taking 5 steps down that path is going to get you to a new level of skill set. And I shouldn't say down that path. You're going up a little hill. So you're conquering a little hill to figure out, is this the right mountain? This all the way up the mountain. Like you were talking before we got on here, like I'm going to Everest Base. You're going to Everest Base Camp. Mm-hmm. It's like you want to conquer one small hill at a time. From there, you get a higher vantage point. And I think people are afraid like, oh, I go up this hill, I'm stuck. No, you can go down. You can readjust, whatever, but you get to a higher vantage point. All of a sudden, you can see, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? And also, you just become a better climber. So the next hill you decide to go after, it gets easier.
Yeah. It's all leveling up, I think, the takeaway.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think beyond that, it's what I've noticed in myself is I feel the best about myself, who I am, and my life when I'm not letting fear dictate my ability to move forward. I feel better even if I'm not moving exactly in the right direction, as long as I'm constantly moving forward and recalibrating. That to me, like that whole analogy of like, well, am I going to just be a ship that's stuck in the harbor because I'm not sure if it's dangerous outside? Or am I going to be that guy that I'm like, okay, even if it's rough seas, let's go. We'll figure it out. For me, that's a much more actual, like it sounds paradoxical, but it's a much more peaceful existence. Because I don't have to wait for ideal conditions. Yeah. I'm like, I will figure this out. And having that kind of internal self-belief, self-identity, that I'm the kind of person that, for me, that gives me a very enjoyable life.
Yeah, I think it makes things just a lot more fun too, right?
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes life more enjoyable because if you want to try new things, you could venture and do it. And you know that you'll be able to either figure it out or pivot and do something else. And honestly, just viewing it as a growth journey, I think is for me the most important. If you're so outcome focused, and by the way, this is really hard for me not to be outcome focused. I think everyone is to some extent because you really, really want the outcome. But if you're more outcome focused, then you keep thinking, at least I keep thinking, is this the right thing I should do? Should I do something else? Oh my God, I got to get to this exact outcome. And then it kind of dirties a lot of the decisions that you might make. And Ithamar, this kind of goes back to one of the things I wrote down during the arena of delaying contentment until you reach a certain end goal. And this is something I'm still trying to work on, but at least I know that it exists. And this has helped me out a lot. And I think the way it was described was, and this was a problem for me, I would say, I'll be happy when I reach $1 million in profit, or when I reach 20 franchises, then I will be happy and I can finally achieve it. That'll give me an edge because I'm delaying that happiness until I get to that point. Now I kind of realize how completely full of crap that is. And the disconnecting of happiness from actually the need to achieve, I think has been such a game changer for me. And the analogy I loved was like, if you have that need, you have these dirty glasses on and you can't really view where you're going because everything's tainted in the world. And finally, when you remove that need, it's almost like you could move way faster because you remove those dirty glasses and you're like, oh, I should go left over here. This is so obvious, but I had these muddy glasses on before. And I think that analogy for me helped me out a lot because you could enjoy the journey and get to the same place. And guess what? You'll probably get there a lot faster too if you just enjoy the journey as well. So that I think that helped me out a lot too.
So I wanted to bring this circle because I wanted to bring this back up at a certain point. In the beginning of the call, you said you were going to get to 20 franchises regardless. But now you're saying that if you're able to do that without the angst, then you can move faster. So do you think those two are actually together? You would have gotten to the 20 franchises, but maybe it would have taken you 5 years instead of two or anything of that sort.
I think, I think I'm moving faster and making a lot of this decision-making. Right. You don't have so much inner angst on should I do this or not? Should I do this or not? So for me, I think the lens that comes out is viewing it a little bit more playful, right? Viewing it as let me try this out. Let me see if it works. If it doesn't, it's okay. I'm kind of growing. I think that lens allows people to move faster in business in general. So yeah, I think it would have taken me potentially a little bit longer to get to 20 franchises. But even if I said, no, we would have got there at the same time, the next 20, it for sure would have taken me longer to do that if I'm just dragging myself along the whole part. So overall in the journey, I think it will take a lot longer if you have that framework in your mind and you're kind of weighing yourself down.
Yeah, it's interesting because what I hear from you is that having that also external framework that's on the outcome of this really big why that changes the world, it creates a lot of pressure. Like, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? There's so much pressure about it. And usually when there's that amount of pressure, it doesn't feel playful. And then we underperform because everything feels so serious. And we think the consequences are so severe that we're in our heads instead of just executing. Now, when you flipped out, like, because what I actually see from you is that you change your outcome to be, you still have an outcome that you're very connected to. Yeah. But that outcome is who you are as a person. If you're on the right path, if you're, say, if I'm being this kind of person, that is the outcome that I'm trying to achieve. And because that's very doable by just doing the right things, it becomes so much easier to be that guy. And those on that pressure, it fades and you can be more playful.
Yeah, I would say
that resonate with what you said.
Yeah, I think the overall takeaway is like, it's just more fun, right? Like, you're going to do the same thing and maybe you'll get to the same outcome in the same time, but at least you could enjoy the journey. And that's way more fun and more cool to me. And like, that's the whole purpose, right? Like, for example, my original goal was to get 20 franchises. I got there. It's not that I'm like, oh, I've hit nirvana. I'm so happy now and I'm blissed out. Now the goalpost moves is the truth. You just keep moving goalposts. So if the truth is the goalpost is going to move always no matter what, then you might as well enjoy it while you're doing it and be less stressed out. Now, the truth is I'm still stressed at certain points and obviously business stuff happens and you're worried and you actually want the outcome to happen. Same for me, but at least oftentimes I can step back and view it a little bit more playfully now. And for me, that just makes the same journey I would have been on a lot more fun. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways.
Great. So we covered a lot of ground here. There's one thing I want to go back to though, which I think is really big. So there's usually some kind of fulcrum when I see with the guys in the program, which is like one kind of main belief that they hold on to that stops everything. Is it okay if I read what you had yours that I think was the biggest one?
Let's hit it.
So you said that I'm an easygoing, chill guy. Easygoing, chill guys aren't hyper-focused on business, discipline, or fast growth. They prioritize lifestyle, which is at odds with scaling many big businesses. Scaling business will take a lot of time, effort, and I'll sacrifice a lot. I'm enjoying my life. It's okay. My identity is laid back. Chill guy. That guy can enjoy life, and it's okay if not every goal gets done. And the story you told yourself, what you wrote, is if I start multiple businesses or scale my business, I'm sacrificing my lifestyle, my self-identity, as a free-flowing guy who prioritizes lifestyle. So what was your process? Because I know you said a lot of evidence and all that, but I would love for you to break it down a little bit further. What was your process to breaking that, to challenging that belief? Because first you had to challenge it, then you had to accrue evidence. So what was your process in challenging first?
So I think my process in challenging is that, number one, easygoing does not mean undisciplined, right? There's a lot of easygoing people who are very successful at business and they're very hyper-disciplined. But you also don't need to be easygoing and chill to have a really cool lifestyle. I know a lot of very strict people who also have an incredible lifestyle. So partly is like looking at evidence in the world and saying, well, it's people clearly doing it. So it's possible to have both. It's not mutually exclusive. So I think that was probably step one. Step two was just the concept of thinking about leverage, right? And for me, I want to at some point grow multiple businesses. I think it'd be fun. I think it's a fun game. I can't do that by being that same identity. I can't be the easygoing chill guy who's scared about growth and also do that. So that was kind of conflicting in my mind. It was causing a lot of Like, what should I do? I should get a Y, blah, blah, blah. And you kind of make excuses. So I think the adopting the belief that scaling can be effortless with leverage, right? If I'm doing everything myself, then of course I can't scale and of course I can't grow. But if I actually utilize leverage, which doesn't mean debt, it just means time leverage, other people, means programs, courses, whatever to move faster, I could maybe even maintain my lifestyle while building a big business. Like, I don't have to do all the central work myself, but I don't know how to do any of that yet. I don't know how to actually utilize leverage in a big way. So maybe that'd be a cool skill to learn to maintain my sense of independence. So those are some of the initial beliefs that I wanted to prove out.
That's big, man. So to kind of reframe what you're saying, to recap it. So the first thing was to redefine some of the definitions or assumptions. For example, a laid-back guy can't have a great, ambitious life or whatever it may be. It's kind of re-challenging some of those assumptions. You said this isn't either or. It's like it could be together. That was number one. And then two, that also allowed you to break free from that, was saying, what if I can just employ different methods to get me there? Like, I don't have to sacrifice a lot of the things because I can grow. I can choose to start valuing leverage, like you said. And I remember that was when we worked on your effective mindset. That was one of your things. It was leverage. And like your rules were like every new business activity I take must focus on leveraging other people's time or my money that you weren't allowed to just like go ahead and do.
Correct.
That was a big thing there. So it's both redefining the assumptions and definitions, recognize it's not an either or, and also just employ different methods. Saying if I what can I do differently to not have to suffer the negative consequences? How could this be happening? How could I make this possible? Is that accurate?
100% accurate. And I think for me,
And
what's
then
been
you
really
just did that
helpful.
enough times with the leverage, you got real world feedback. Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying that's 100% true. And I think that the rule was the biggest for me is like setting those rules, especially when it comes to leverage and time. Another big rule I've adopted since then, which has helped me out, was I'm not going to take on any meetings or ongoing tasks that are unlevered. So if someone says, "Hey, why don't we meet to discuss something?" No, I'm not taking that meeting anymore. But we could do it if it also is going to do X, Y, and Z, or if I could have someone else take the meeting for me. That's a small example, but in other ways of like, I just did like a joint venture where I became a minority partner in another business, and I didn't launch that business myself. I just said I will help you, but I'm not going to invest my time. I can invest expertise, and I could be a silent partner in this business, right? That's step one of getting to the kind of future lifestyle I want. And that's utilizing the rule of I'm not going to get involved. And if you need me to get involved, my answer is no, I can't be involved in this business then. So I think the rules have been extremely helpful for me to make decisions going forward. I think that's probably the key point there.
It's massive, man. Well, this is really interesting stuff. Okay, so to kind of wrap it up. We've talked a lot about a lot of stuff today. And in your perspective, if you were talking to, let's say, you of 2 years ago or somebody else that's kind of already built something that's serving them well, but they feel a bit torn because they want to have freedom, but they still want to grow and something's kind of nagging at them. Like, what would be the process or the advice that you could give them?
I would probably first ask them why they think it could only be one or the other. Step one. Like, what does an ideal lifestyle look like for you? And why do you believe that if you grow, you can't do that? And then, if they redo their identity and say, "Okay, let me think about maybe I can grow with leverage and maybe I can do X, Y, and Z," but they don't believe it, say, "Great, don't take my word for it. Just try it out. And maybe over time, real world will give you evidence that it actually works and you'll realize, oh, cool, I could actually maintain both." But until you've actually tried it out, you're just giving yourself anxiety right now for something which doesn't even exist. So just do it. It's probably the fastest path forward as opposed to redoing everything else and starting from scratch. That sounds like a lot of the damn work. But if you just continue down the same path, just see where it goes. That's generally what I ended up doing. And I wouldn't say it's like because I was being wise or anything. It was just like, okay, let me just keep chugging along. It seems like the most logical and easy thing to do. And then things started to prove things out. And then it started to adopt this identity. So for me, it was a journey, right? There was no aha moment. It was just, I have a kind of framework. Let's prove it out. Oh shit, life's actually proven it out. This is kind of cool. And then it becomes identity.
Dope, man. Cool. I'll share kind of my takeaways as well. for anyone on the fence, because we actually started, you started out at the arena. I remember we had that conversation, like when I was on a walk, we texted and you were like, I don't want to give up my lifestyle. And what was interesting is that I asked you, why do you think that's true? Because, and I talked about the mutual friend that we have, we talked about before we got on the call. It's like, he has a really, really big business, but he actually travels, I think, more than anyone I know. And you were like, huh. So I think what you said there about, first off, challenge your assumption. Like, is this necessarily true? That's the crucial first step. That's one. And then two is just to understand that you actually being in your head about this gives you less freedom, less lifestyle, less ability to actually enjoy what you've built. It don't focus on like the external stuff, but focus on internally how you're actually feeling. Because if you feel constrained, you don't know if you should do this or you should do that, guess what? You're not really be able to, you're not enjoying the fruits of your labors. You're stressed. Like you said, you have anxiety.
Yeah.
And sometimes just giving yourself that permission to try the first thing and see, like you said, if it works or if it doesn't. But feeling that feeling of momentum, that you're doing the right thing, that's what will actually give you that great feeling that you're after. That's what the whole point of it is all about.
Yeah.
Any last takeaways before we go, Neil?
Man, I think it's just like, it's so interesting because I've been thinking about this a lot more of how it's all internal, right? Like you could have all this external success and the outcome you want and everything. But internally, if you still feel uncontent, you're not a chill guy who's enjoying lifestyle. It's all internal, right? You could have it in, you could be on the beach and have a ton of money and still be a complete bundle inside and super tight and stressed out. Like it has nothing to do with the external. So it's an ongoing journey, but the more you could kind of tame that internal battle, the more fun that internal journey is and the more fun life is. And if you really want to maintain your lifestyle, cool. That just means make sure your inner game is really strong and then you're going to enjoy it no matter what is going on with the business and how big it is, how many employees you have. It doesn't matter. It all just matters on the internal, which admittedly is a very hard game to master, but that's the real way to have lifestyle freedom is just focus on the internal game.
I think I can't say it any better myself. And Neil, I want to say thank you for coming on, man. That was really insightful. I also took a lot away from it, just seeing it from your perspective. I'm sure a lot of people did as well. And where can people find you if they want to learn more, reach out, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it was awesome being on, Itamar. And if people want to get a hold of me, I'm most active on Twitter. Neil B. Parekh is probably the easiest place. You can DM me on there and just connect.
Cool. So we'll have that link in the show note below. Again, thank you very much, Neil, for coming on. And we will see everyone on the next episode. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to the Elite Performance Podcast. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you enjoyed it. One last thing before you go. If you feel like someone with your exact skill sets and abilities could be accomplishing more than you are right now, you're performing below your potential. Here are three ways I'd love to help you fix that and start achieving everything you know you're capable of. Number one, 3 Quick Ideas Tuesday newsletter. It's a weekly email with 3 quick ideas around one aspect of elite performance and how to approach it differently for better and faster results. People say it's the most thought-provoking and impactful 2 minutes they spend in their inbox each week. It's easy to sign up for and easy to cancel, and you can sign up at itamarmorani.com/3ideas. Number two, the Extreme Clarity Tool to uncover the number one action to grow your business that most entrepreneurs avoid. It's an intense 2-minute exercise to help you clarify the biggest needle mover in your business, and it has nothing to do with relying on discipline, motivation, or any biohacking bullshit. And it's completely free. See it, use it, and win, and you can gain access to it at itamarmorani.com/clarity. And number three, lastly, the Arena Performance Accelerator might be for you if you're tired of feeling stuck and are ready to level up. It's a premium program with a premium price and 100% money back guarantee to back it up. The Arena is not a 6-week discipline bootcamp. It's where you change the trajectory of your life and business. So expect a 6-week intense sprint where you'll unlock your full potential by uncovering what you didn't even know was holding you back and remove it for good. It's an interactive live program in which you'll work directly with me to get clarity on what you want, forge a mindset that's wired for winning, and create a rock solid mental and emotional core that will allow you to not just hit your short-term goals, but accomplish everything that you've been struggling to get done. Over 100 6-to-9-figure entrepreneurs have gone through it, gotten results that last for years and left rave reviews. The first step is to fill out a 3-minute application form at itamarmorani.com/apply. From there, I'll help you uncover what's keeping you stuck and how to overcome it. Then you can either do it yourself or work together. Whatever is a bigger win for you. Go to itamarmorani.com/apply. You can find these links in the show notes below or visit itamarmorani.com to look around. Until next time, Who dares wins.